Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, it's time to go Inside the Green Room with Danny Green.
What's good, everybody? Welcome into Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. Harrison Stanford. You guys already know the vibes, and what could be a quiet summer, usually for basketball fans, has a little bit of sauce to it because we got some summer league play as usual. We have a trade that we did, or a sign-in trade rather, yet that we did not talk about on the last show. DeMar DeRozan now going to the Sacramento Kings. We have some thoughts on what that means, not just for the Kings, but also the San Antonio Spurs. And then we also have some signings. Jalen Brunson leaving over $100 million on the table in order to remain with my New York Knicks. A lot to discuss on this episode of Inside the Green Room. Make sure you guys are following us on all things social, Inside Green Room on Instagram, Green Room Inside on Twitter. And if you're listening to this on the on your podcast app, make sure you watch us on YouTube as well. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you can listen to us on the go using any podcast app that you see fit. Obviously, the Odyssey app is our preferred one. With that being said, Danny, and we'll talk about Team USA too. There's a lot to discuss. We'll get your quick thoughts, though, on the deal for the Sacramento Kings pulling off a sign-and-trade and getting DeMar DeRozan in the building. Your thoughts?
I think it's a good move, man. I think the biggest one was signing Malik Monk back. You got your scoring off the bench. Herder trying to get healthy. He's your shooting. But you needed like a third consistent scorer in that starting lineup. You know, HB is my guy. He played very well, but he's not as aggressive. He's not the same type of scorer DeMar is. And, you know, obviously Sabonis was very good, triple-double alert, triple-double machine. And De'Aaron Fox is just the head of the snake, you know, leads the way. But they need another guy when those guys have off nights or when one of them's hurt or even just to take the load off one of those guys. So DeMar, I think, you know, takes that off of him in that starting lineup. And then Malik coming off the bench. So you have more scoring, but that's not their issue. You know, they can score a bunch. They're like the Indiana Pacers. They've been scoring a bunch the last two seasons. The biggest thing is defense. So even though they picked up DeMar, it's a great move for them. They got to find some ways to get better defensively. You know, just stay healthy more so than anything. I think if they were healthy, they would have had a better year. But yeah, bringing this guy in gives them more scoring, but a little bit less defense. But like I said, I think this is a great move for them and a good move for DeMar. You know, he's closer to home. He's in California again. They got him at a pretty cheap deal. Like, I mean, $75 million doesn't sound like a lot in today's. I mean, it's still a lot of money, but you're like, they got DeMar for only $75 million.
It's a relatively
cheap
deal.
It's pretty cheap. So, with the third year not fully guaranteed, I think it's a great move. Man, they got a good one.
Now, I don't want to sound like a hater. Congratulations, Sacramento Kings fan. You probably got your biggest free agent addition in the history of your franchise. I know that is worth celebrating. You bring in an all-star, it is worth celebrating if you are the Sacramento Kings. But I got some news for y'all. It ain't going to work. I'm worried about the defensive ability of this starting lineup. And honestly, Danny, not just that, but you say and we think that the offense can get better because, oh, DeMar DeRozan is a 23, 24 points per game type of scorer. He was number two in Clutch Player of the Year award last year, if not the winner. I'm not sure. It's an award that doesn't really matter to me. But with that being said, he's not a shooter. He's killing the floor spacing for a starting lineup that doesn't necessarily have shooters. De'Aaron Fox doesn't have great gravity. Domantas Sabonis doesn't have great gravity. And we know DeMar DeRozan doesn't have great gravity. You have three guys who don't have great gravity, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on Kevin Huerter or Keegan Murray or Malik Monk, whoever gets those two of those three starting spots. I assume Keegan Murray will have one of those. It really forces them to operate in situations that I don't think are ideal for them. DeMar DeRozan, if he was like the sixth man on this team, maybe that's a little bit different. But DeMar DeRozan didn't come to Sacramento to be the sixth man. I'm worried about the floor spacing, honestly, Danny. I think it was a good move to get a star of that caliber in the building. But I'm going to keep it real with you. Wouldn't surprise me if by the trading deadline or definitely by next year, he is traded on that contract. Because as good as he is, he doesn't fit. And he, in my opinion, is just a very different type of player to fit around. He needs to have the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. And you have De'Aaron Fox who needs the ball in his hands. Unless De'Aaron Fox becomes this elite catch and shoot shooter, and same thing with Domantas Sabonis, especially with all the dribble handoffs that he likes to do, I just don't see it working. And you know, Mike Brown has his hands full. He has a lot of talent, but it doesn't necessarily fit, in my opinion.
So I'm glad you brought up the six-man thing. So DeMar is toward the end of his career. If things are not working well, do you bring him off the bench at a certain point? Do you make that adjustment if you're Mike Brown?
I'm not in DeMar DeRozan's head. I'm not sure he signed up to be the sixth man. We'll Maybe see. Not. I think him.
But if you want to win, you want to be in a better team, ultimately you have to make decisions or you have to be okay with compromising with just like Clay did, right? Clay came off the bench in Golden State toward the end of the season. So if things aren't working with the starting lineup, and Malik is obviously a scorer too, but he can catch and shoot, gives him a little more floor spacing. You put him in the lineup and have DeMar be the scoring off the bench. It may throw off Malik's rhythm some, but I'm sure he can adapt and adjust. So if you're Mike Brown, do you make that adjustment? And at what point do you make that adjustment?
You definitely can't start the season like that. We'll see how it goes for the remainder of the season after that. Mm-hmm. With that also being said, Shams Charania reported on Monday that Klay Thompson is going to Dallas with the expectation that he's going to be the starting small forward. We'll see how him, Luka, and Kyrie work defensively. I don't think that's going to work either. I think eventually he's going to have to set the six-man role. You're not going to play any defense with that starting backcourt of Kyrie, Luka, and Klay. Same thing with De'Aaron Fox, a Kevin Huerter, and DeMar DeRozan. Who are y'all guarding? Yes, we love the offensive firepower, and the names would make you think that they should be starters. But you played basketball. We've watched basketball. You need to play defense. And unless these guys have a total shift in how they approach that side of the ball or a total shift in their abilities on that side of the ball, I just don't see it working. I hope it does work, but I also have to be real, DG.
That's wild because I think Clay is a guy you can plug and play anywhere. You can fit anywhere because he does not need the ball in his hands.
Offensively,
defensively, yes, he's lost a step, but he's not a liability defensively. He can.
He's very capable. Who's the primary defender?
If they played
Oklahoma City, who's guarding Jalen Williams and who guarding the SGA?
PJ Washington, can you be your primary defender
for who?
For guarding SGA. For SGA.
PJ Washington? All right, fine. That's not going to work, but okay. So then who's guarding Jalen Williams?
PJ Washington guarded Shea. Didn't he guard Shea most of the series that they played against them?
Derrick Jones Jr. did. They don't have Derrick Jones
Jr. They had both of them. They mixed both of them. Now they got Herb Jones. They got Najee Marshall.
But if Clay's starting at the small, you don't have Derrick Jones Jr. and PJ Washington anymore. Replacing Derrick Jones Jr. is now Clay Thompson. Clay Thompson cannot replicate what Derrick Jones Jr. did on the defensive side of the ball.
For sure not. But you still have one other defender you can put in there. It's either PJ Washington or Najee Marshall, right? And then at the five, you have what's the name protecting the rim. So you're good there. It's either from Washington, and then the rookie Lively, Derek Lively, either protecting the rim or
Sure. Hey, listen. I don't envy Jason Kidd, and I don't envy Mike Brown, because when you get the caliber of player that you get in the door, a Klay Thompson, a DeMar DeRozan,
man, you're expected listen, man, for the hold team up. To be better.
But I
defense
don't think
is great, but defense ain't better. Defense ain't the today's game. It don't even matter anymore. You see Indiana, do they play any defense? They made it to the Eastern Conference Final. If you can score, you can outscore people. With that threat, you can outscore them. That's your defense, getting shots and making shots. Now, Luke and Kyrie will switch off. You can sub in. You have them play more at the second unit. But as long as you have a rim protector and one other guy that can primary defend, whether it's PJ Washington or Najee Marshall being the primary defender, which is that Klay could be a secondary defender. I don't see why he can't guard a secondary guy and then have your guy at the rim protecting.
All I know is the team that actually won the NBA title had five guys who could play defense on their starter
they
lineup.
Also, they also scored a lot, too.
One and a half or two. So, you know. Build your rosters how you want to build them. I think we've seen the formula that works. I don't think it's going to work in Sacramento or Dallas. But, hey, they got Klay Thompson. They got DeMar DeRozan. I guess a celebration can be had. With that being said, I do think there's a celebration, though, for San Antonio Spurs fans. This offseason, they added Chris Paul in free agency. With that sign and trade with DeMar DeRozan, they also ended up getting Harrison Barnes into a salary cap space. So now, Danny, if you look at the San Antonio Spurs, not too bad of a starting lineup. Chris Paul, provided he has to stay healthy. Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, Harrison Barnes, Victor Wembanyama. This is not a team we expect to be in the second round of the playoffs, but I think this is the type of developmental progression that the Spurs need to make. Yes, would you like to give Victor Wembanyama the best roster of all time right now? For sure. But looking at that 2025 draft, you still want some capital there. It's very realistic that they can play well for stretches of the season, but still end up being a non-playoff team and get into that 2025 draft where guys like Cooper Flagg are available. Danny, I think this is the right step for the Spurs. There's no need to go all the way in, but you have to present Victor Wembanyama with a competitive basketball roster that allows him and the rest of the team to grow. I think that's what they did.
Oh, I like it, man. I love it. I love that they got HB. They got the other Harrison Ingram in the draft. So my two Carolina boys are there. CP, he may not be healthy all season, but he can definitely teach and lead a lot of that group and control that locker room for the point guards to come. I do not like – yeah, the contract, you got a good deal too. Do not like the fact they gave up Rob Dillingham. I wish they would have kept him. That would have been really great for them. But I think ultimately the pieces that they moved or got with at the end of this – not the end of free agency, but last week or so is some really good pieces. And I think they could be a play-in team, and this is one of a respectable roster if they stay healthy for the most part. So we will see. But, yeah, I love that my guys are there and they're in a really good spot and some people that can help teach the younger guys like Victor Wembanyama, Jeremy Sochan. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Messing it up.
Sochan. You're good.
Jeremy Sochan. And then, you know, the other younger guys. Trey Jones, I'm for sure he's still there. Vassell, who's another up-and-coming great potential scorer. And Keldon, I think, is still there. So, with those guys following HB and CP, I think it's a really good fit and a good mix.
A respectable basketball roster, and that's what Victor Wembanyama deserves. Real quick before we go to break and we talk about Team USA and Jalen Brunson's deal. Victor Wembanyama, next season, does he win an award? Is he an MVP? Is he Defensive Player of the Year? Does he get All-NBA First Team?
I think he's Defensive Player of the Year.
All-NBA what team? Is he making a team?
No, I think it's too early for all NBA teams. I think it's too soon for that. All NBA teams, you know how many guys that are so good?
If he's defensive, bro, so you think he's going to win defensive player?
So you think Rudy should have, is Rudy on an all NBA team? Rudy was an all NBA team?
No. But he's
just because you're defensive player does not mean you'd be, bro, stop. They're not going to win enough.
Bro, but he's doing, you know, three times
there's 15 players. 15 players, all NBA team, right? There's three NBA all NBA teams. We have 15 players. You're saying that he's going to beat top 15 guys. When you got Luka, Shea, Jokic, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Jalen Brunson, Jalen Brown, Tyrese Halliburton, like Tyrese Maxey, like John Morant, who's coming back. We're forgetting all these people. Steph Curry. Bro, what? There's a list of guys. You're going to say you're going to put him in the top 15 of the NBA next year.
Let me ask you a question, Daddy. So you and I both agree You and I both agree that he's more than likely going to win Defensive Player of the Year next year, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay, so if he wins Defensive Player of the Year and he also averages 20 points and 10 rebounds, yeah, he's going to be on the All-NBA team, bro, because he's a
newsflash, Harrison. There's like 40 guys averaging 20 points in the NBA now.
Bro, it's not.
There's a lot of guys that average 20 points a game in the NBA this year, bro. Kevin Durant, like Devin Booker. What are we talking, bro? The All-NBA team has 12 guys.
It's not Rudy Gobert winning Defensive Player of the Year, averaging 11 points.
I didn't say it was that. I'm just saying just because he wins Defensive Player of the Year does not mean he's an All-NBA player. Averaging 20 points a game is not doing it anymore. There is a lot of guys averaging 20 points a game.
Averaging 20 points per game as the Defensive Player of the Year will make you an All-NBA team.
They have to be a playoff team. No, there is, because it's 8 NBA teams on the East Coast, 8 NBA teams on the West Coast. And that means – two guys from each team probably can make it and should make it all NBA, or at least one from each one of those teams. Bro, what? If you're not in the playoffs, if he's not in the playoffs, having 20 and being a player means nothing. It means nothing.
Mark this podcast, and we'll revisit it next year when Victor Wembanyama.
All NBA? I haven't mentioned Anthony Edwards. Bro, you're bugging. You're bugging.
Next episode.
Kawhi Leonard. Paul George, like, bro, there's a lot of guys. James Harden, there's so many guys that are up in the running that get snubbed that he's not going to average more than or win more than. You forget these guys that are getting snubbed that he's not going to be ahead of.
Victor Wembanyama. So you don't think Victor Wembanyama is a top 15 player in the league right now?
No. I just listed off a bunch of guys. He's better than all those guys I just mentioned.
Bro, he's a top 15 player in the league right now, 100%.
No, at one point he will be. And year two? Well, hold on, timeout. So let's go through the list. So he's better than Jokic, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Okay.
Jokic, Embiid.
Joel Embiid. Giannis.
Okay.
Jason Tatum. Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum. Luka Doncic. Shai Gilgeous Alexander.
Seven.
LeBron James. Eight. Steph Curry.
Nine.
Anthony Davis.
No, not necessarily.
Bro, he's all NBA guy this year, was he not? Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard.
Ask you a question, Danny. Who would you rather
bro,
have next
what?
Season? Anthony Davis or Victor Wembanyama? Keep it a bean. Who would you
Who's going to get the votes and who is the better player right now? Who's going to be on a winning team? More winning team that's going to get the votes. Anthony Davis was an all-star in the West this year.
We said the player. Would you rather have Victor Wembanyama or Kawhi Leonard next year?
Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis. I'm putting him on my team before. He's a second-year player, bro. These guys are veteran guys that can give you – they have experience and they can score like – double-double easy, bro. They have winning experience, and they're very talented. The reason why.
I will give you Anthony Davis for Kawhi because of his health issues. I'm not giving you that. But for the sake of argument,
he played 70 games this year.
That's 11. And I'm being generous here. That's 11.
So that's it? That's all you have?
Halliburton, 12. Halliburton makes 12. Okay. Brunson, I'll give you that, 13.
We don't know what Mikal Bridges is going to be at on that, but I like Tyrese Maxey up there.
Tyrese Maxey is not a better basketball player than Victor Wembanyama. He's not. He's
all star.
Next season, would you rather have Tyrese Halliburton or Victor Wembanyama?
Do you see Victor making an all star team?
Yes.
Who's he making it over? DeMontis Sabonis?
Yes. Oh,
Victor, they're going to be a winning team, bro. He's going to be a double-double guy.
Would you rather have DeMontis Sabonis or Victor Wembanyama next year, Danny?
Victor Wembanyama, but I'm not saying he's a better player. I'm just saying these are the guys. This is why they go by winning. But I didn't name players to you. I gave you players. I said Tyrese Maxey.
You gave me 13.
I gave you – so you want me to keep going?
You got to get to 15.
Paul George.
No.
James Harden.
No.
All right, well.
No, I'm not.
Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo. Do I have to go to USA? Do I have to go to the whole USA team?
14.
So you want me to go to the whole USA team, or you want to go to other European teams? Because it's a play on every team.
Wembanyama is going to be an All-NBA team next year. We'll save the rest of the debate for next time around. When we come back, we'll talk about Team USA and Jalen Brunson's contract with the New York Knicks. Be right back. Stay tuned inside the Green Room. Team USA will get a win, even though they look a little bit shaky on Monday. Only a six-point win against Team Australia as they get ready for the Olympic Games. The game was played in Abu Dhabi. One of the more curious things, Danny, is they allowed 68 points. One more time, 68 points in the paint. This is a team with Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, and Bam Adebayo. I personally am not too worried, even though that is a stat that is not welcoming to Team USA basketball fans. Overall, Danny, what do you expect for this team going into Olympic play going forward?
Well, I think this is a game that they needed. They needed a close one, someone wake-up call. Most of the games are close because it's not high scoring. But I'm not too worried. Like you said, they will be better. They will be sharp. But I think for the most part, they were up big for most of the game. Now, they may have had some lapses. They may have had some subs, let some guys in and relaxed. But ultimately, they're capable of beating a team like this and other teams by double digits, 15-plus points if they wanted to. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about it. But, you know, this is a good team. But there's a lot of pressure on them. And you know what happens when a lot of pressure comes with certain situations. There's always one team that can surprise you or one team that's going to upset you, and then the whole world is doubting you. So they can't let anything seep in or let any teams gain confidence. Because all it takes is one or two teams to get. We've seen what happened with Puerto Rico and Carlos Arroyo did back in the day to USA. All it takes is one of those guys to get unbelievably hot, like Evan Fournier or Patty Mills or something like that, and then give you 40, and now you know you're in trouble. So, but ultimately, he said they got to protect the rim better, but they will, and they have some good pieces. Going back to the debate, there's a lot of guys on that USA team that we forgot that we could have put in that category above Victor Wembanyama. No, didn't mean any offense to those guys. Those guys are unbelievably great. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, those other guys I'll put in that category. But yeah, all of Team USA guys, they're very talented. And there's some guys that weren't on Team USA that got snubbed that could have been there that I could have put in the list. So Victor Wembanyama, special talent. But I think he needs another year before he's in an All-NBA team, top 15. But this USA team is something fun to watch and for real. So I'm expecting gold. And anything less, I think the world will be disappointed. The whole basketball world will be disappointed.
Yeah, we'll be disappointed. But, Danny, I do believe this is the last time I personally expect Team USA to dominate on their way to gold. Do I expect them to win gold in 2028? 100% I do. But I don't think it's going to be easy. And I think every Olympics going forward is just going to be more difficult to eventually. They might actually lose one. I know Anthony Edwards has taken a lot of pride in maybe being seen as a top option and maybe the future of Team USA basketball. It's going to be a heavy burden, my friend, because this is probably the last Olympics. Probably that we'll see Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and LeBron James. It's not just the exiting, it's also the arrival of what we're seeing across the world. Obviously, France has Victor Wembanyama. We've seen how many players they got drafted into the first round of the NBA draft this year. Team Canada is absolutely loaded with NBA players. Jamal Murray, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Don't let them mess around and develop a big man. Now, right now, Zach Edey could have played for the team because he is from Canada, but he's not on the team now. Who knows what other big men can develop down their pipeline? You obviously have Serbia with a guy like Nikola Jokic. You have Slovenia with a guy. Slovenia is not in the tournament, but they have a guy like Luka Doncic. Who knows what Greece could put alongside Giannis Antetokounmpo? Team USA will be the favorite this year.
Yeah. But after
and
that,
Team USA will be the favorite again in 2028. But this is the last. This is the last time, Danny. That
dominant.
I think
the last dominant team. Yeah, the last. Yes. So you forget Serbia has Bogey. Bogey went off. Bogdan. That's the reason why they beat. Was it France? I think they beat. They beat them pretty handedly too.
100%.
I think it was France. Yeah, they beat France by double digits, and everybody thought France would be the team that give USA their biggest, you know, the toughest matchup. But Serbia handled them pretty well, and said Australia played pretty well. So. There's a lot of talent out there, and you see the league is growing, and this is the argument where the Europeans are taking over the NBA, and eventually the top players are going to be the Europeans in our league. So as you say and as you've seen, this probably is the last year USA dominates because most of the guys are going to go play for their home countries and, you know, want to beat USA. And ultimately, if we don't step our shit up as Americans and have some guys coming out, you know, college, whatever, high school, and you know, do the fundamentals and then keep continuing to love the game and be passionate about it. It's going to be a switch to where we're going to be behind the eight ball, you know, against them.
Yeah, would not be surprised at all. Looking forward to watching the Olympic Games. And also, Danny, I will say this as a Knicks fan. I thought Jalen Brunson was deserving of a Team USA spot. But at the same time, as a Knicks fan, I'm okay with him resting his body for the New York Knicks campaign, which is guaranteed to capture a lot of the national headlines this year. And something that did catch the national headlines over this past weekend, Mr. Jalen Brunson taking a $113 million pay cut in order to help the Knicks stay under the second apron. His extension that he signed saves the Knicks $37 million over the next 3 years, which essentially turns out to be the mid-level exception every single year. Danny, it's a fascinating move by Jalen Brunson. Granted, he can make up most of that if he remains healthy and plays at this same level 3 years from now when he can opt out, and then he'll have his 10 years of NBA service, and then he could really get that super, 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 super max. So it's a short-term haircut. Obviously, he has to stay healthy in order to get to that point where he can make the money back. But I think, Danny, just in general, when you look at this deal, I find it so interesting that he's taking the haircut to keep the team at the second apron, because it's exactly the opposite of what the Los Angeles Clippers were willing to do for Paul George. Paul George ended up going to Philadelphia because he was not going to take a pay cut to stick around in LA, or at least that was what was reported. There's been multiple reports about what's happening there. I think the second apron, Danny, has been used as a tool for all front offices to be more financially responsible. And now it's also forcing players to be financially cautious as well. Jalen Brunson, within his rights, could have definitely said, nah, bro, I'm waiting until next year. I'm getting the full bag. We'll go into the second apron. Y'all figure it out. I'm getting my money. Instead, he says, nah, I'll sign the extension now. I'll take the pay cut down because I understand what the second apron means for us as a franchise. It is remarkable that he did it. And I don't think anybody would blame him if he took the full bag. But in this new double apron CBA world, Danny, I feel like a lot of players are going to have to say, hey, I can get my max dollar, but I'm probably not going to win. Or I could take a little bit of a haircut, look at the team finances, and we'll have a better chance to win. It's a unique circumstance, and it probably does help him that Mikal Bridges, Dante DiVincenzo, and Josh Hart, his Villanova teammates, are on the team. For any of the situation, I don't know if I'd have been able to do it.
I'm with you. $113 million. I love the homies. I love my homies. You know I love my homies. $113 million worth of loving them? I don't think so, bro. I'm not taking that big of a cut. And I've taken cuts before, and I would take a cut, of course, to win. But also, you're in New York. The taxes are crazy. It's more expensive. He could have still, you know, took the years or lesser years. I mean, Paul George, different situation. He's older. He knows he's not going to get another max contract like this. He's younger. He can get it. And most of the time, most guys in this league know, 90% of the time, you're not getting that back on the back end. You know, there's always a lot of promises or under the table or hints.
No guarantees.
If you're hurt, it's a business. And if you can't play, if you're not what you're worth, that 300 that he's planning on getting next 4 years or whatever it is may not come. So you'll never get that money back. He could have still signed a fair deal where it was a cut to where it was not as much and still got his bag and still saved some space for the homies. $113 million for the homies? Nah, bro. Maybe 40 to 50. 20 to 50? All right. That range, very selfless. Unbelievable. Maybe he lives a simple life. He's like, I don't need much. I just want to be with my homies. I want to play. I want to be in New York. Kick it. Cool. But even still, you know, Pops is in front office. He got a job. He got bread. Nobody around me needs bread like that. You know, my homies probably need it. Very, very unselfish of him and very admirable. But most other guys, 113, yeah. Nah, maybe 13, maybe 20. No, I'll give up 20 to, you know, 20 to 30. But, bro, nah, I love my homies, bro. Not that much. So, kudos to him. Shout out to him, man, and trying to keep his guys together. There's still no guarantee that those guys will stay. Mikal Bridges is supposed to be taking a cut, too, but they may not keep Dante. They may not keep Josh. Now, if they said, you know, we're going to bring up the whole Villanova team, that might be a little different. All right, 113, we bring back the whole Carolina team. Yeah, maybe. Not still. Nah, I'm still not doing it.
The interesting thing is Mikal Bridges eligible for a contract extension as well. The thing is, Brunson could have played out the year, got to free agency, then if he played at the same level he did this year, then as a free agent, then he can cash out at immense numbers. That's essentially what he turned down. He turned down the opportunity to be a free agent and extend under his current deal. And under his current deal, there's only a certain amount of maximum increases you could have per year. Same thing might happen with Mikal Bridges now, who's eligible for a contract extension in August. He's only making $22, $23 million a year. If he played out the year and got to the open market, probably a lot of bigger dollar figure out there for him, but it's believed that he will probably sign the contract extension as well. I think, Danny, the most interesting person in all this is Julius Randle. Julius Randle can opt out of a play. He could opt out of his contract at the end of this upcoming season. If he opts out, he probably thinks to himself, oh, I could make $45 million or such a year. Or he can extend in August and lock himself into a number that is going to come with less money over the course of time. The problem is when you're Jalen Brunson, as you're seen as the head of the snake, you take an extension, you take the pay cut for Julius Randle. He's almost in a situation where if he takes it, he's leaving money on the table. But if he doesn't take it, he could be seen as selfish. Yeah. He could be seen as like the odd guy out because everybody did it. Yeah. It's
everybody else on the team is doing it. So, yes, ultimately, Jalen Brunson has set the standard for the New York Knicks, not the rest of the league, because this means nothing for the rest of the league. Ain't nobody else in the league doing this. Now the Knicks now, he's doing it for his homies. That includes you. Now you're part of the Nova Knicks, Julius. You know, you didn't go to Nova. You're part of the Nova Knicks. You got to do what all the Nova boys are doing. So you better take that cut or the Knicks fans will be looking at you like, what the hell? We gave this guy this amount of money. He didn't take a cut. And once you have one bad performance or a couple bad games or a bad season, they're going to be like, you know what? We need to trade him. So the standard for the Knicks now is set because of what Jalen did. But everywhere else, superstars ain't doing that, man. They, you know, Bron took a cut, I think, to go to Miami. He took a little cut this year, $2 or $3 million or something like that. You know, maybe to either find some space to stand in the cap, keep Bron, and snip a little bit. But in Miami, I think, you know, they were all making like 17 at the time, which is crazy. It was like big money back then. Now it's around 45, 50. But most superstars, no, you got to max figure it out. Y'all going to go into cap. You pay me and pay them too. Like, you go into the cap. You want to win, pay everybody that needs to deserve to get paid and have them figure out. That's the mindset. And that's, I'm going to say that's how it should be. But I agree with both sides. I don't see anything wrong with either side. You know, you are what you're worth. You should be get paid what you're worth. And if teams really want to win, and if owners really want to win, they will find a way to get it done and pay, you know, the taxes. On the other side of it, it's like, you know what, if you know the owner, if you have a good relationship with them and they, you trust them and they say, you know, we're going to take care of you in the back end, let's just take the cut now so we can keep everybody around you. I'm with that too. So it was in San Antonio, I don't regret anything that I did. And I was like, you know, it made sense to keep everybody together. I will take a little less to try to make things work or be here and win. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it may come back to me later on. It may not be with San Antonio, but I feel like the energy you put into the world will come back to you. So this energy he's putting into the world for himself and not just his group, I think it'll come back to him tenfold. But that's still a lot of money to leave on the table. I don't know if I can do it.
I mean, what he did ensure, though, is that the New York Knicks more than likely will be able to actually keep this roster together for a very long time. The one thing you don't want to end up being is a team like the Denver Nuggets, who essentially had to lose. They essentially lost KCP because they couldn't pay the bill. There's no world would you actually want to lose KCP, but they couldn't afford the bill because you're already paying.
I mean, he got paid a lot of money too, and they had to pay Aaron again too. Aaron Gordon again has to get paid. Like, other guys have to get paid again. He's one more year he has to get paid. So it's like, we can pay KC, but then we won't be able to keep Aaron. So it's like, which one you gotta figure it out. But they got the championship. That's what they, you know what I'm saying, they got what they needed. They got what they wanted. So at this point, it's like, do you want to keep winning championships, or is that enough? Are we satisfied? Let's just keep winning, stay in the playoff race, or stay in contention.
And then
try to stand underneath the apron.
Hey, man, these guys who own these teams, they didn't become rich because they lost money. They're still trying to operate with a profit, and that is the one thing that is definitely has to be considered as teams decide to either go in or avoid the second apron. All right, that's it for this episode of Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. I'm Harrison Sanford. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh,
I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.